Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are discussing, were giants the result of demons?
You know, Bill, I'm excited about this topic today because most people shy away from it. I mean, you don't hear it taught too often, and it is a bit controversial, but I really believe our listeners are going to have a better understanding of how angels operate, including the fallen ones, and more insight in general into the spiritual realm after today's podcast.
Right. It's very interesting. You know, there were giants on the earth at the time of the great flood of Noah and afterwards. The question is, where did the giants originate? Now, these next three verses describe what took place. Genesis 6:2 through 4 says, "Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose." There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Now, Nelson's Bible Commentary, page 17, says about this, quote, "The most likely interpretation is the sons of God were fallen angels. This is the view of Jewish scholars."
So these fallen angels had sex with human women.
Right.
Wow.
And produced giants.
And MacArthur's commentary, page 21, says, "The sons of God, identified elsewhere almost exclusively as angels, saw and took wives of the human race. This produced an unnatural union."
Right.
And this was also mentioned in Job 1:6, 2:1, and Job 38:7.
Right. And one more commentary, the Bible Teacher's Commentary, page 42, says, "The sons of God were the fallen angels who somehow had impregnated human women and fathered the Nephilim," or the giants, as it says in the New King James Version.
And Nephilim means fallen ones, or then, you know, also, as you said in the scripture earlier, called the mighty ones. So basically, they are a hybrid race. And I know in the Greek, it means earthborn.
Right.
So it's interesting that the term, though, Bill, sons of God, is never used of believers in the Old Testament.
Right.
This is it's used in the term
angels.
Of angels.
Right.
Yeah, that is interesting. And some believe, you know, about this verse and about this whole topic, Bill, some believe in the line of Seth explanation to make this verse maybe less spooky, more palatable. Right.
Yeah, right.
And there are many reasons, though, that this viewpoint is unscriptural. But two quick reasons are, if the Sethites were the good guys, why did they perish in the flood?
Right.
And in Genesis 6:12 says, all flesh was corrupted. And the second reason is, how could the Sethites produce giants? They were humans mixing with humans.
Right, right. And there's many other reasons. You know, but God destroyed the earth because of this wickedness. And another possible reason for destroying the earth was because the genealogies were corrupted with the seed of the fallen angels. So what was the purpose of the flood? It was not only to cleanse the earth of sin, but to cleanse the gene pool. The fallen angels contaminated the human race. Genesis 6:9 says, "This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Now, God chose Noah for two reasons. Number one, because he walked with God. And secondly, because the fallen angels did not corrupt his genealogy. So notice it says Noah was perfect in his generations. The Strong's Concordance says the word generations means descendants. In other words, his gene pool was not corrupted. Now, Christ had to come from an untainted genealogy line. And Dr. Chuck Missler explains this in his teaching about the Nephilim. He's an excellent teacher. He passed away a few years ago, but
yes.
Superb teacher.
Absolutely. You know, and also, Bill, this is confirmed in the New Testament.
Right.
2 Peter 2:4 says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell," and he uses the word Tartarus, which is Strong's number 5020, and it says, "a place of torture and torment lower than Hades in Greek and Jewish apocalyptic literature, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly." So Peter ties this to the days of Noah.
Right.
Very interesting.
It is. Then Jude 6 and 7 says this, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own habitation," and the word habitation means abode, dwelling, or home, "he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." So we see by these verses that the angels who left their first estate or departed from their own nature took on the form of men and had unnatural relations with women. The fallen angels went after strange flesh, human women, just as the men of Sodom and Gomorrah went after strange or unnatural flesh, men with men. So now the MacArthur Commentary, page 1982, says, "This apostasy of fallen angels is described in Genesis 6, 1 through 3, as possessing men who then cohabited with women. The transition to Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7 points to the similitude of the sin of homosexuality and what these angels did in Genesis 6.
And the Believer's Bible Commentary, page 2341, states that the sons of God left their proper estate as angelic beings. They came down to earth in human form and married the daughters of men. There may be a suggestion in verse 4 that these unnatural marriages produced offspring of tremendous strength and wickedness.
Yeah, I noticed the Believer says they came down in human form, where MacArthur says they were possessed, the men were possessed. So I think the Believer's Bible is a little more clear.
Yeah, that makes sense, because all through the Scripture, angels appear in a human form.
Right, as men. They appeared as men.
Yes, as men.
Not as possessing men, but just as men.
Good point. You know, and the Scripture says that demons can be large in size and greater in strength than men, as these next verses state. And we also know that there were giants after the flood, as the Bible mentions in these verses. And I'm just going to mention a few references here. Psalms 103:20, Mark 5:4, 2 Peter 2:11, Numbers 13:33, Deuteronomy 2:11 and 2:20, Joshua 11:21, 12:4, 1 Samuel 17:4, 1 Chronicles 20:4-8, and there's others.
Right, many more. Now, there is, of course, Goliath, too, the giant David slew with a sling. Now, he was 9.5 feet tall. That's in 1 Samuel 17:4. And he also had four brothers who were giants. So there were giants in the earth after the flood. Now, look at these two verses describing a giant. This is interesting. 2 Samuel 21:20 says, "Yet again there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature, who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant." That is an interesting verse. Six fingers and six toes,
Wow.
On each hand. Anyway, another one, Deuteronomy 3:11 says, "For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Indeed, his bedstead was an iron bedstead, 9 cubits is its length, and 4 cubits its width, according to the standard cubic." Now, a cubit is 18 to 24 inches. So if it was 18 inches only, that would make the man approximately 13 feet tall.
That is tall.
Right.
You know, and Bill, the mystery is, why were there still giants on the earth after the flood?
Right.
I mean, the Bible really doesn't tell us.
No.
I mean, but there's got to be a spiritual component here, because if they were wiped out with the flood, yet they came back.
Right. And in the they were cast into Tartarus, these wicked fallen angels that rebelled and caused the sin. God says he threw them into Tartarus, but it doesn't say when.
Yeah,
so could he have thrown in after
the flood?
The flood?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or could the other additional fallen angels have done the same thing? The Bible doesn't say.
Yeah, and it is interesting, too, that Dr. Chuck Missler points out that those disputed areas in Israel where they are still fighting today, like the Golan Heights and the Gaza Strip,
right,
are the same areas the Israelites failed to defeat, is it the Rephaim?
Yeah, Rephaim.
Rephaim, or giants back in the Old Testament time. So right. They failed to get them out of the land, and they're still fighting in these regions today.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Now, these next two verses show us that angels have a different nature and body than human nature and a human body. Hebrews 2:16 says, "For verily Jesus took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." In other words, human seed. So he's showing the difference that there's a nature of angels is different than the nature of... Okay, then also 1 Corinthians 15:44 says, "There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body." So that's clear.
And, you know, in Scripture, as we were saying earlier, angels always appear in human form. And it's interesting, they are capable of combat, like the death angel during the Passover in Egypt,
right,
and the angel that slayed the 185,000 Syrians in one night.
Right. You don't want to mess with angels. You know, in Genesis 18 and 19, when the angels came down from heaven to see Abraham, they appeared as men. They were invited to eat, so they had physical bodies that were capable of consuming food. Now, after eating, they departed and went to Sodom, to Lot's house. Now, all the men of the city came to Lot's house and wanted to have physical relations with them. The point being, the two angels each had a male body that must have looked attractive to these perverted men. The Bible says that the men of the city tried to break down the door to Lot's house in order to rape the men. They were unaware that they were angels. They were messing with the wrong guys. The angels smote them all with blindness.
That's a good example. You know, and the Bible tells us that at times we could be interacting with angels. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares."
That is interesting.
You know, it's interesting also to note that there were Greek titans or hybrids, you know, that, you know, were in history, you know,
right,
part terrestrial and part celestial. Examples are Zeus, Atlas, Hercules. Atlas and Hercules would actually be Nephilim.
Right.
You know, they were not gods, but partially demonic and partially human. And there are many other examples in ancient cultures that have legends about the gods.
Right. Even these two scriptures here, the one scripture, but in two different Bibles. The Living Bible says this in Genesis 6:4, "In those days and even afterwards, when the evil beings from the spirit world were sexually involved with human women, their children became giants, of whom so many legends are told." Then the New Living Bible about Genesis 6:4 says, "In those days and even afterwards, giants lived on the earth, for whenever the sons of God had intercourse with human women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes mentioned in legends of old."
You know, the Bible says angels are not given in marriage in heaven, but that doesn't say also, Bill, that they cannot marry on the earth or have relations with women.
Right.
This would be especially true if an angel left their first estate or their angelic body or nature.
Correct,
right?
Correct. You know, in Matthew 24:37, Jesus said, "When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day." Now, besides the wickedness on the earth, could there be a deeper meaning to the phrase, "like it was in Noah's day"? Could Jesus be suggesting the possibility of a hybrid race on the earth again?
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.